I'm not feeling very confident in such situations. Let's look at this. And what do you think we could change?
I think maybe it's the wrong time movement. I'm not feeling.
It's the wrong tense, absolutely. So what do you need?
I'm not quite sure if it's correct with I am, but it sounds weird when I say I feel because I didn't feel. I don't feel. So
So wait, you just said it.
I don't feel.
There you go.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense.
So I don't feel very confident in such situations. And actually, that's really interesting for me. It's fascinating for me because your English is really way more advanced than, I do not. You know what I mean? This is stuff that you do quite early when you're learning English. And it just shows that you have these little
Yeah.
gaps. There's just stuff that where, your teacher annoyed you or you had a possibly not so, no, I won't say this, not a good teacher, but where
But
you
that was the reason. I really have bad English teacher. They don't motivate me to learn English, and English was always a problem for me.
Welcome to Language and Culture with Dr. J. This episode marks 3 months in the Leah experiment and of this learning challenge. Welcome, Leah, to the podcast.
Hello, everybody.
So, Leah, this month we are recording the episode first in English and then in German. So, let's get right to it. You had to sing a song this month. What
Yes,
song was it?
it was a sugar for the pill. It's about a love song and a love that don't work. And so it's a little heartbreak song.
And do you think it helped? I mean, obviously, I was doing it for your intonation and to loosen up. Do you think it helped, or do you think it was counterproductive, actually?
I think it was both. It was a little bit fun. It was something else, and I think it helps me to to learn more about intonation. Yes, I found this assignment was something else, but I think it was a good one.
Yeah, something different. Okay. You also had to record a few sentences about what you were most grateful for. So, for the listeners, you can find Leah's assignments and how she completes them and how I correct her work on my Instagram account at CultureEMDRJ. I post her homework and what we are doing together every week, and you can find her sentences about gratitude here as well. So, I think you did a great job on that. How did you find it? Are you satisfied with it?
Yes, I was. I have to train it a little bit, but at the end, for me, it was good, and it was something special to hear my voice in English. It's not so strange and awkward like to hear my voice in German from a record. So it was quite easier for me to record my own Aufzeichnung.
My recording.
Yeah, of course. My own recording, and so it was, yes, I was satisfied with me. Yes.
Okay, you also had to write a few sentences about what you think you still need to learn in English. And this was actually, I think, most frustrating for you. Why do you think that is?
Yes, because I think I have be more was heißt ungeduldig?
Impatient.
I think I'm too impatient with the process, and I think I have to be I have to speak English better in 3 months. I have to know more words. My vocabulary have to be better as it is. So I was a really frustrated.
So you expect like almost too much. It just needs to take some more time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me read your final sentences to me. So you wrote, I feel very uncomfortable to speak English, especially when I have to speak spontaneously. My vocabulary isn't that extensive. I'm not feeling very confident in such situations. I think my English sounds uninspired and simple. Okay, and I'd like to correct this and correct it with you, because I actually think you can. I think you can. So let me look at the first two sentences. You made two sentences. I feel very uncomfortable to speak English, period, English with small e. And then another sentence, capital E. So especially when I have to speak spontaneously. So tell me the mistakes that you notice, if you notice any.
I'm not sure, but the word English, to speak English, I thought the two different types when I look in the dictionary, and I'm not quite sure if the E in small letters is right, or if English would be written in a big E letter.
Well, so in English, it's always going to be written with a big capital letter. It's in German. It's in German that you have a difference. In German, if you say, I speak German, it's a difference on whether you're saying German as the language, then it's capital. And if you're saying as an adjective, then it's a lowercase. And I think that's why you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And no, in English, it's, you know, the language, it's always a capital E. French is always a capital F. German is always a capital G. In English, okay. The language is a proper noun.
Okay.
So that's one. Very good. So that's one. But there's one more mistake. And that's one that you make often. So let's try to find that one.
I'm not quite sure which word is in English, but the Satzstellung?
Word order or sentence structure?
Word order. Mm. Okay.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Was it correct to say I'm feel? No.
No, I feel, you
no.
feel. No, no, no. I feel.
No,
okay,
that's
so
correct.
That's another one. Sometimes you think it has to be the present progressive, like I'm feeling. And
yes.
That's only in the moment, right? So the present progressive is only something that describes your momentary state. I am going to the store right now, but then I'm going to the store. I am right now sitting in a chair.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if it's a general truth, you know, that describes your general state, then it has to be the present simple.
Okay.
But let me try to help you a little bit. So
yes.
I feel uncomfortable, and then do a different verb instead of the verb to speak. What would come naturally after that? I feel uncomfortable.
Talk?
Yeah, but it's always going to be, I feel uncomfortable talking. I feel uncomfortable doing. I feel uncomfortable walking. I feel uncomfortable teaching, working. So it's going to be, remember, we've done this before. It's this ing mm-hmm. form. That's something that I think you should really review in the grammar book, because you don't need the infinitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had, for example, it is difficult for me to speak English, then it'd be correct to put the infinitive form. But I feel uncomfortable doing something.
Mm, yes,
so
okay.
I feel uncomfortable speaking English. And then the other problem is this, especially when I have to speak spontaneously, that's just a clause and it can't stand on its own. It depends on the first part of the sentence. So I feel very uncomfortable speaking English with a capital E, comma, lowercase e, especially when I have to speak spontaneously. Punkt. Period.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one sentence.
Okay. Mm.
In German, and I don't want to actually go into German grammar because I don't know if I'm if I'm going to be always correct on what I say. But I think in German, these clauses, there's a lot less rules on these, what we call dependent clauses. So in English, we really make there's a difference between independent and dependent clauses, right? And
okay.
Independent clauses have their own subject and verb, whereas dependent clauses do not. And in German, there's less of a rule, less of a restriction on that. It's the same in German. It's the same, actually, interestingly, as in Hungarian. In Hungarian as well, a lot of sentences seem to me like they can't stand on their own in German as well. And that's because of my English. So that's a little bit of a different, difficult thing to get used to. But think about the subject. The subject remains you. So you feel. This is you feel. And all the rest depends on this. How do you feel? You feel uncomfortable. How uncomfortable do you feel? Very uncomfortable. What do you feel uncomfortable doing? Speaking. Speaking what? Speaking English. Mm. When do you feel uncomfortable? When you have to speak spontaneously. And especially is just sort of another qualifier of it. So it all depends on this. I feel.
Okay.
Right. And how do you feel? I feel uncomfortable.
Okay. And one question. Can you tell me again, which topic is this grammatic rule that we spoke with uncomfortable doing?
In your book, it's going to be gerunds. And I think there is, in the book that I recommended to you, I think there's even a section that's ING, ING forms.
Okay.
So you will find it under gerunds and on ING forms. And that's something you should really review.
Okay.
So you get all the rules and all the different types of exercises that is impossible for us to do now spontaneously. And that's another thing that I keep saying, and I said that in the last episode as well. Grammar is really difficult to correct. You can't, I mean, my theory or my belief is that you really can't correct it in the classroom. If you do not understand something, you can bring it to me or you can bring it into a classroom, and then that can be clarified or it can be expanded on, or you know what I mean? Like the little nuances can be explained. But you actually grammar, if you're not learning grammar organically as a child and it just kind of sits with you because that's how you heard it all your life, then you have to actually sit down with a book, intellectually understand the reason, and then try it out until it works. So you need, really, everybody needs a different amount of exercises to this idea of, in German, verinnerlichen, right? So for you to actually really truly grasp it and have it be part of your the grammar that you're able to use. So that's, I think that's really important to notice, to use our sessions to notice the grammar mistakes, and then to go back and then really tackle them with your book.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yes.
Sure. So then the second part is, my vocabulary isn't that extensive. And this is perfect. There's nothing wrong with this.
Okay.
But let's do the next one. I'm not feeling very confident in such situations. Let's look at this. And what do you think we could change?
I think maybe it's the wrong time. I'm not feeling.
It's the wrong tense. Absolutely. So what do you need?
I'm not quite sure if it's correct with I am, but it sounds weird when I say I feel. But because I didn't feel. I don't feel. So
wait, you just said it.
I don't feel.
There you go.
That makes sense.
So I don't feel very confident in such situations. And actually, that's really interesting for me. It's fascinating for me, because your English is really way more advanced than, you know, I do not. You know what I mean? This is stuff that you do quite early when you're learning English. And it just shows that you really... You have these little gaps. There's just stuff that where, you know, your teacher annoyed you or or you had a possibly not good teacher, but where
but that's also a reason. I really have bad English teacher. They don't I don't know how to say, but they don't motivate me to learn English. And I was not a good student in school. So English was always a problem for me. So yes, maybe you're...
No, but it's really, really interesting, and it happens with a lot of people. It happens more with English, I think, than with other languages, but it happens, I mean, in my experience also with French, with Spanish, that there are these lücken, these gaps in our knowledge. For example, for me, there are tons of gaps in my Spanish because I really learned Spanish. I mean, in a way, I learned it organically, but I really learned it with Latinos. So it's just like this. Well, I always say it's an español de calle, de la calle. It's a Spanish from the streets, It's kind of like it's just kind of how you speak it. But I have a lot of if when you get into tenses or when you get into really truly intricate Spanish grammar, ooh, I have many, many gaps. But my Spanish is really like I can really say everything. I can carry comp. I mean, I've done interviews, tons of interviews in Spanish, so I can carry all these conversations in Spanish. But if I were now trying to do the same thing that you're trying to do, like let's say I was going to move to Argentina and really wanted to be able to use my Spanish in a business context or, really professionally, or I wanted to be able to teach in Spanish, I would have to then really meticulously sweep through my Spanish and find these gaps. And some of the gaps would be elementary. And this, for example, I feel confident. I don't feel confident. This is quite elementary, and this is just something that you, like you said, for some reason, that's something that you missed. And that's also where a lot of this lack of confidence comes from.
I
Because,
think
please.
no, I agree. Yes, that must be the reason. Yes.
Because you notice that there are these little things, and look, for example, that's one of my biggest things in German. Because in the languages I speak, like French and Spanish, and well, in Hungarian it's different, but in French and Spanish especially, the gender of nouns is oftentimes different from German. But a lot of times it's the same. So that's been the thing that's caused me the most difficulty. And a lot of times people think that I don't know how to use the dative or accusative. Hendrik, my husband, for example, says sort of, oh, das mit dative. And I'm like, I know it's dative. It's just that I thought it was a masculine noun, or that I thought it was a feminine noun. So my insecurity is not in the higher grammar, right? Dative, accusative, nominative, all the cases, but in the very, very banal grammar of the gender of the noun. Something that's absolutely natural to my children already. I ask them, der oder die, or das. And they're like, they just kind of from their gut know it. And that's an insecurity when I'm trying to sound particularly intelligent in German. I notice that I have to tell myself, okay, don't worry, just talk, don't think about it, because that's my insecurity. I go, oh my God, I'm gonna make a gender mistake. And then everything comes out wrong, because then I'm like totally, I start stuttering, I start, it's really incredible. So this is one mistake that we've noticed, and that's just the present simple. So again, go back to the grammar book, just review the present simple and the present progressive. Just go through it one more time, and that's it. And then you will slowly start using it right. I mean, it just will. It really will just happen. So I think we're done. Let's read it once correctly now. So I feel very uncomfortable speaking English, comma, especially when I have to speak spontaneously. My vocabulary isn't that extensive. I don't feel very confident in such situations. And maybe I would put comma and I think just to kind of connect to sentences, but it's not essential. And I think my English, obviously English with a big E, sounds, oh, there was one more mistake, sounds uninspired and simple because it's a singular. It sounds. And I think you were doing I sound.
Yes, that is
And so I think my English sounds. It's the English that sounds,
Yes.
right?
I
Okay.
see.
Okay, so that was one. Then this week we also worked with rhyming and with finding synonyms for
Oh,
words. Okay, tell us about that.
yes. It was really hard for me to find five words that are a rhyme for the one word you collect. And I look in very different internet sites that have rhymes, and they also have different answers with words that maybe rhyme with that one word. And I have to look for every word in the dictionary. Is it a real word, or is it a word that doesn't exist? And
Okay.
it was really difficult because the most words I never heard before. And that was the same for synonyms. Maybe it was a little bit better than for rhymes, but yes, for both it was very difficult for me to find words that make sense. And yes, I have to look very much in the dictionary.
So let's look at them just it's a really good exercise, because it lets you be aware of the sounds, right? It makes you aware of your pronunciation, and it makes you aware of the sounds. So let's look at the first one. So messy, and the problem is that there are these, strong rhymes, these full rhymes, and that's, for example, in this messy. So you take the last consonant sound and the last vowel sound, messy, but heavy, it's not the same consonant sound. So very, depending on if you want a strong rhyme, right? Are you trying to rhyme only the last vowel sound or the last sound? Like, for example, in the next one, luck, truck, stuck, duck, and then you have F-U-C-K, which are full rhymes, right? But if you had, for example, lack, that would be the vowel sound is not the same. So even though the last consonant sound is the same, the vowel sound is not the same before it. So, for example, the full rhyme for messy would be stressy, dressy. Those are great. And then you have heavy, carry, very. Those go together, right? But not really with the messy. Then let's look at hat. So you have, right, you have mad. So talk to me about this, because I corrected this and you insist on putting it back in there.
Yes, because I look in the dictionary and there is a word MAT.
Oh, Matt. Okay, but you spelled it with a D. Yeah, okay.
I maybe I was wrong with mad with a D, but I found a word that called mad with a T.
Yeah, a mat is something that you put, you put in front of your shower and you step out on the mat, on the shower mat, or you can have a welcome mat right in front of your door, your front door, you have a welcome mat. But mad is not going to rhyme.
Now, okay, that's
And
okay.
the same way as sad isn't going to rhyme.
When I sent you my correct corrector
My
corrector correction
corrections, correction.
correction I put these words in Anführungsstriche
In quotation marks.
in quotation marks, so it was for me that was not correct, but I don't want to durchstreichen. I want
Cross it out, cross it
I
out.
didn't because it is in my book, and I won't don't want crossing marks in my book,
Ah,
so
yeah, okay. So I'm looking at the picture. Okay, so that's fine. So hat, cat, flat, fat, that, mat. These are perfect rhymes. And you hear how they sound exactly the same. So you do the next one.
Yes, it is pen, and for pen I have then, when, men, Glenn, and Jen.
Good. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, now do the next one. Soft.
Soft, loft, craft. I
Yeah,
don't
but
know.
see, it's not, it's craft.
It's craft. Yes, I think so.
So that's
So it's
not,
not really good.
yeah.
And the one also with oft.
Oft is okay.
Oft
Loft,
is okay.
soft, oft is good.
Oft,
So then you have lazy, crazy, mazy, navy. Spacey lady. Again, last vowel is rhyming, but the consonant before it doesn't, except for lazy, crazy, mazy. Okay, let's look at some of the other one, happiness.
Yes.
This is easy because all you have to end is, you have to just end it in ness. So.
Yes, exactly. It is a weakness, a friendliness, healthiness, cleanliness, laziness.
And it's cleanliness. It's weird. It's cleanliness.
Oh.
Yeah. See, so it's clean. Clean. That's English for you. It's clean, but cleanliness.
Okay.
So then you have danger. And here we have a bunch of problems too, because it's going to be this jur sound. So trainer, braver, labor are not going to work. And we're going to go with danger rhymes with stranger, ranger, manger.
Okay.
Because it's going to have to be this jur sound. So did this help you or was it just annoying?
I'm not quite sure. I think it was a little bit annoying because I have to look so much word in the dictionary. So I.
Yeah. And that's not.
I don't know.
That's
I'm
not
sure.
Good. That's not good. That's not good. Maybe of whatever. It was worth the try. Rhyming is supposed to be good, but maybe it was worth the try, but we won't. I promise we won't do it again.
Thank you.
because that's not the idea. I mean, if you're looking in the dictionary, it's what's the point, you know? And if anything that annoys you, then that's I think also really, really important. If it starts annoying you, then there's no point. There's no point. There's no you will never internalize it anyway. It'll just kind of, it'll be just time spent. I mean, it's never a waste of time, you know, even just flipping through a dictionary is not a waste of time because you're seeing words, you're spending time with the language. It's never a waste of time, but there's better ways of spending it. You know, you're better off singing a song. I mean,
yes.
So let's look at the synonyms. So you have synonyms for work, and would you read these?
Yes. My synonyms for work are job, performance, task, afford, and assignment.
Let's pronounce effort with an emphasis on effort.
Effort.
And why don't you give me a sentence with two of these?
Okay. I like my new job and the new tasks I have to do.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, that's good. I mean, of course, there's a slight difference in each of the connotations of these, right? Job, performance is going to be, yes, it's work, but how you're performing at work, etc. But I think it's self-explanatory for you and for the listeners. So let's look at employee. Here you have staff member, worker, operator, representative, and attendant. Very nice. Very, very nice. Maybe one sentence with one of these.
Tomorrow I have a meeting with the worker and operator in my team.
Okay, so how do you mean by worker?
Employee,
you mean? Yeah, because worker is actually kind of it's a difficult word to use. It has a bit of a negative connotation, you know, sort of you think of menial labor, you know, not very well paid labor. So
yes, in our company, it is called the blue worker,
the blue collar worker,
blue collars. Yes. So, but in our company, it is the same. A worker and an operator means the same. It's both blue colors that works on Fabrikbänder, Laufbänder.
On the assembly lines.
Yes.
Okay. So you have, but what would be the difference? Maybe I just don't know actually from your job. What's the difference between a worker and an operator in this sense?
Yes, I think an operator has more, not rights, Verantwortung.
Responsibility.
The operator has more responsibility and lead a team of worker.
Ah, okay.
So it's like a Vorarbeiter.
So the workers actually carry out a certain chore or a certain task, a certain physical task, and the operator is manages these particular workers. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So let's go to the next one, salary. You have earnings, wages, recompense, income, and pay. Recompense is a little bit difficult. I would actually, instead of recompense, I would say compensation. So salary, earnings, wages, compensation, income, pay. And these really can pretty much be used interchangeably. Let's go on to the next one.
Report. For report, I have writings, post, mail, messages, and summary.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about the differences in these.
Yes, I think a writing is something I write down, so it's not usually a report. It can be many other things also.
Like notes even, right?
Notes, yes, or a letter. A post is a very very short
text.
Text most used in the internet for social media site. A mail is not the same as a report because a mail can also be everything like a letter, only digital. Messages can more use with your mobile phone, I think. And the summary is, for me, the most similar word with a report, because a report is always a summary of something.
Okay, so correspondence, which is going to be a bit the same. You have mail, dispatches, missives, bulletins, and articles. What are missives?
It's a good question. I forgot what I write, what I saw in the dictionary.
You looked this one up. Let's look this one up, because I don't actually know what missives are. I know I looked it up when I was correcting your homework too, so.
Yes, I take a look.
A letter, especially a long or official one, according to Oxford Language Online Dictionary. So yet another missive from the Foreign Office is an example sentence that they give. You know, that's an example of a word you shouldn't use. Because it's like, you know, you don't know it. I don't really know it. So this is something that I think it's always really important to expand your vocabulary. Like, for example, synonyms and working with synonyms. You know, for example, when we were looking for different synonyms of interesting. But you don't want to have synonyms that you really have no connection to, because then it's like this, it's the same thing. If the rhyming didn't work because you were looking up words in the dictionary that you have no connection to, then it's just, it makes no sense. If you add a synonym for either a concept or an action or something that you know, you have this, aha, oh God, right. I know that concept in German as well, and I've never used it. You know, I've never used the proper word for it. That's a word you want to learn. You know what I mean? Like, I think that then you expanding your vocabulary. But missives, you know, I mean, we're always expanding our vocabulary, whether it's in our native language or in a foreign language. We are. I mean, we should be. We really should be. But for example, missives is not a word that I will write down for my English vocabulary, because I don't see myself ever using it. Whereas there are other words, you know, like I said, we're constantly learning where you go, oh, that's an interesting word that I wasn't aware of that, or it wasn't in my active vocabulary. You know, I kind of recognize it, or, you know. Okay, so let's look at the next ones. Let's go a little bit faster here. So conflict, battle, a crash, a competition, a struggle, or a combat. Good. You do the next one.
Revenue, I hope it's correct.
Absolutely.
Revenue. I have a credit, earnings, found, gain, dividend, and profit.
Very good. And it's not a, how did you say the third word?
The third, found.
It's a fund.
Ah, fund.
It's a fund. Yeah. It's a fund. Yeah. Well, because found is going to be F-O-U-N-D, found. And if found, it's going to be, I think you're using it in the sense of to find, right? I found. So that's the past tense of the verb to find. And this is a fund, as in monies, right? Like somewhere where you're taking money.
I think I thought on the German word fond.
Ah, okay, okay.
So I thought it was fond.
Right, yeah. And these are, of course, these are false friends that, that you have to watch out for, that make you think that it's a certain way in one language. Okay, so fund, and I think this is also fairly self-explanatory. Let's do the next one. Satisfied, content, convinced, happy, pleased, filled, or I would say fulfilled, for example. You do the next one.
Generous.
Mm-hmm.
Generous. Charitable, helpful, hospitable, philanthropic, unselfish.
Very good. Unselfish, I think, is spelled wrong. I think you have a C in there that doesn't belong. Unselfish, it's a German, the sh sound you did, the German.
Yes.
Ach, it's all, I mean, you know. So it should be just SH instead of SCH. Okay. Okay, so cooperate, assist, collaborate, comply with, confederate, and join together. Nice. Very nice. Very, very nice. Okay. So moving on, your final assignment this week was to record 6 questions and 6 statements that you could use at work. And I've corrected these sentences for you, and you have sent me a recording, and I will play that right now, cut it into the episode, and here it is.
Questions. How did you like yesterday's exercise about our compensation planning system? When is the go-live date for our project? When will you be in the office next week? Have you sent the email to Susan? Do we have a go-ahead for the global PIT? When is the customer arriving? Statements. Your performance on the project was very good. You did a great job. Thank you for your support at the meeting on Monday. You will have a number of new tasks once we start using the compensation planning tool. We have to wait for the Working Council's decision. We need to recruit new employees and have to publish the job advertisement as soon as possible. The PIT tool is very important for the planning of our expenditures in 2024. I hope you have signed up for one of our PIT tool training sessions.
You did really, really, really awesome on this. It is absolutely wonderful. And I'm really happy that you also wrote it into your notebook without me asking it. I asked you this morning, have you written it in your notebook? And you did. It's awesome. And that's really sort of for the listeners out there. You really are, Leah, an awesome student.
Oh, thank you.
But it's really also because you get it. You actually know you have to put the work in. And I think you also get it. You know that, for example, if you write it down correctly, it's this extra step. Like, for example, just a second ago when we noticed in your writing that you had, what was it? Unselfish. Right? This is just, it's no big deal. No one really cares. It's not going to make a difference. But you wrote it down. And now we've looked at it and you notice it, right? So and that's also why you're recording your voice. It's like making all these different connections in your brain between reading something where you're visual, right? You're just looking at it with your eyes, hearing it, saying it yourself where you're producing it, writing it. So you're actually translating what's in your brain into physically, right? Moving your hands and having to write these letters. So all that is incredibly, incredibly effective. So let me just say one thing real quick. I think you were a tiny bit discouraged maybe after the, I think it was assignment 10, right? Where you had trouble with this one paragraph. And I really wanted to sort of make a note because, so 3 months ago we started and you had a certain level of English. You made some mistakes, but you got around, right? You were able to communicate. You were able to communicate it was yours, right? Your mistakes were yours, everything was yours. But what's happened now is that you've become more critical. Like what you mentioned earlier as well, you're a bit impatient now because, you know, we're picking on everything. We're noticing every sound you pronounce wrong, every tense you use wrong. So we're really picking on it. And it's then really difficult to have it completely deconstructed. And you are trying to do better. And I think that sort of this is a tiny bit right now, maybe, although today in this interview, you did amazing. You made very few mistakes. It was really, really, really good. But I've decided to do something a little bit different for the next month, because I think I'm afraid that this concentration on your mistakes is going to stand in your way, possibly. So it's important that we correct mistakes and improve our language skills. But right now, because I think that you might have been concentrating too much on your mistakes, I'd like for you to really abandon. I mean, if you want to go back today or tomorrow and look up the gerund form, the ing, you know, some of the things that we talked about in this lesson, I think that would be constructive, you know, just to kind of end that. If you want to look into the present simple and the present progressive and then the ing, the gerund forms, I think that would be good, because then, you know, sort of abschließen, then you kind of ended this lesson. But after that, I'd like for you to abandon your grammar book for the next month. And I'm also going to try to give you a little bit more fun assignments for just for 1 month, right? Because ultimately what I want is for you to fall in love with English and to and to never, I mean, all these like sort of bad memories of bad teachers in elementary school. We have to get rid of the trauma, right? So...
So, like a therapy, yes.
Yeah, but it's true. I don't want you to, and I want you to tell me anytime something's annoying, like the rhymes, no more rhyming.
That's great.
So if you want to associate English with fun, with positive, you know, only good things. And then we'll go back to grammar in a month or so. And then, you know, we have to at some point tackle some of these things, but, you know, not for right now.
Okay.
Any questions from you right now? And I know it's difficult to ask your questions publicly, but it's really good for the listeners.
Yes, I have a question. The question is, do you have any a tip for me to get more words for my vocabulary? So a tip or a life hack, something that works.
So you know, I teach several vocabulary classes at the university, and I have, for each session, I have 60 to 80 words that they have to memorize, and and it's all these specific words to specific fields. Students love it. I try to still make it fun. We do tons of exercises. I'm not sure how much of the vocabulary actually stays. So really, the most effective vocabulary building is to read and to just take the words that you find interesting in the texts. That's one. Another one is when you do not know a word, when you kind of, for example, in this week's interview, you asked me several times direct translations. This episode will air and you will listen to it at some point. That would be something where you should really write those down. And then, you know, look, when I was trying to learn German, for example, I made my own cassettes. I mean, that's how long I've been in Germany. There were still cassettes. But you can make, you know, nowadays you can make your MP3 file of your own voice. Like, let's say the word inconceivable, right? So you would repeat inconceivable, 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 inconceivable. And then you would say a sentence. It would be inconceivable for me to do this or that. That's another way. If you notice, for example, for your job particularly, or for a certain area that you lack vocabulary, there are books that I would then recommend. But then we'd have to look at that a little bit more in depth, where you think you lack vocabulary. Also on the internet, there are lists of words. But I don't recommend that necessarily. Mm-hmm. I would still grow it organically, if at all possible, and add it on peu à peu, mm-hmm. as you notice them lacking. That would be my recommendation. But if you say now, for example, oh my God, when we're discussing this topic, I completely lack the vocabulary. You know, I don't know, like, for example, if you lacked accounting vocabulary, then we have to look at a good book or at a good internet site that lists really effective and useful and well-defined accounting vocabulary. And then we need to look at also how you're going to verinnerlichen these words. So how are you going to get these words to actually really sit with you? It's always a problem to do direct translation. It's difficult. You know, I've done simultaneous interpretation. I've done direct translation. It's really, really difficult. If you're doing it in writing, it's incredibly time consuming. If you're doing it as Flüsterübersetzung, you know, right, simultaneously, it's a massive concentration challenge.
Yeah.
So most of the time you want to actually understand the concept. And also words will have different translations. There are times, or oftentimes, you don't have a direct translation from one language to the other. Oftentimes there'll be slight nuances, you know, in what those words mean. Now, with this so-called Fachvokabular, that's often not the case. For those, there are these terms, right? These specific terms that are used in specific areas of business life. Those are most of the time going to have a direct translation. So, but there I would recommend that if you know the concept, then you know, oh my God, I'm missing that, then look it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just real quick, because I just recommended this to a student yesterday. I said, if you want to just generally enhance your vocabulary, just like general, just kind of fun. This is one that I've always thought was really funny. These vocabulary calendars. You know, there are these calendars that are one word for each day. Okay. Those are fun because you hang it up and then you learn a word every day. I've always thought those were fun because I like having a large vocabulary. So I've always thought those were fun but those are words. I don't know if that's not more effective in your native language. You know, I don't know if that's something, but if you have fun with it, like I said, anything you have fun with is going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So
answer my question.
Yes. All right. So, and then if I didn't answer enough, just ask me again or let me know or send me a text or something. But yeah. So thank you, Leah. And thank you all for listening. This is Dr. J signing out.